Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Millionaire Real Estate Agent Podcast. I'm Jason Abrams, and this is the place where we lift the curtain on the world of real estate like never before. Every week, I sit down with visionaries, pirates, and mavericks. We're here to document, demonstrate, and most importantly, demystify their game-changing models and systems. What secrets propel them to the top? And how are they living their dreams? This is about passion, it's about strategy, but above all, it's about real, tangible success. So buckle up and let's dive in. This is the Millionaire Real Estate Agent Podcast. So I know plenty of property managers. I love them. But you know what I don't know? I don't know any of them that did property management in Iraq and Kuwait during a war. I don't know anyone that's done that other than this guy. Add to the fact that he's emancipated at 17 years old and pretty much on the journey on his own, multiplied by the fact that he has one of the biggest teams in all of Colorado, and you start to get the idea. Friends, this is about to be an absolute masterclass in all things visual scoreboards. And you say, Jason, how did you take those other disconnected ideas and marry them to visual scoreboards? What Brendan figured out is that if he gamified the real estate industry, just like he had gamified everything else, then before you know it, it was easier to get the people in his world to do the things they need to do. And I'm going to remind you, Gary Keller said that leadership is teaching people how to think so that they do the things they need to do when they need to do them, so that they get the things they want when they want to have them. Brendan Bartik uses visual scoreboards to do just that, and it is really good. Sit back and buckle up. Friends, this is Brendan Bartik. Brendan, how are you, sir?
I'm fantastic, Jason. Thanks for having me on.
I'm thrilled that you make the time. It's not easy to make the time when you're the CEO of the number one team in the entire Colorado region. So I'm honored that you did. Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, just here to give back like I've learned from so many on the show.
So walk me through this, because nobody comes into real estate and then next year does, you know, 6 million in GCI like y'all do. How did we get here today? Because here's what I believe. I believe you ended up in the single greatest industry in the world, but everyone's path to get into it is wildly different. So everybody sit back, take a second. Brendan, how did we get here?
I had a very interesting journey into real estate, like I'm sure so many others have, but basically I was working, doing property management in Iraq and Kuwait for a company called Halliburton.
Stop the tape. I've asked so many people and you see patterns. This I've never heard. So number one, did you go to college for real estate?
No. I have a GED. I was in the social service system and emancipated when I was 17, joined the Army, got my GED when I was in social services. Yeah, the journey was after the Army. I was in the U.S. Infantry. We did multiple tours in Iraq and Kuwait. When I got out, I ended up taking a position with the Ritz-Carlton Hotel Company in Naples, Florida, which is a beautiful property on the beach, and it's gorgeous. I worked my way up from cabana boy to overnight hotel manager. And while working there, I received a call from a previous colonel that I worked with in the Army. And he said, hey, I'm retired and I'm now working for this big company called Halliburton, which for all of those in Texas, I think know Halliburton to be pretty massive company. And he said, we are looking for someone with wartime military experience to run hotels because we are invading Iraq to remove Saddam Hussein. And I had a cushy job at the Ritz. I was like on their path to becoming, you know, a manager of bigger hotels and all of this.
So is this Desert Storm or is this Operation Iraqi Freedom or which one was this?
Yeah. So this was after Desert Storm. So this is when we went back in and just removed him, you know, when he was in the hole and hiding and threatening weapons of mass destruction and all of these things. Yeah. Yeah. So this was after Desert Storm. And so what they needed was they needed someone that had this bizarre mix of hotel experience and wartime experience to manage hotels in Kuwait and Baghdad that we took over, right? We took over these properties so that we could fly in foreign dignitaries that could help with this. Basically, when we went into Iraq, we had to remove the entire infrastructure, burn all the money. I mean, I was there when they were burning just piles of Saddam's money with his face on it. I mean, billions and billions of dollars, because again, you're not in power anymore. You can't have your face on the money anymore. You couldn't fly into Baghdad because they would shoot down the planes. So I ran a deployment center in Kuwait City that brought foreign dignitaries in, housed them, and then we shipped them into Iraq in these huge convoys. And so it was really weird. And I the reason I took the job is I was like, I had this great Ritz-Carlton job, and then he told me how much it paid. And I was like, I'm sorry, come again? Because, you know, it was, you had tax-free Patriot pay, you know, you could die type pay. And I was like, yep, let's go. So I was gone 2 weeks later and did a year contract over there. And I was there when they brought in Saddam and the whole thing. It was, you know, we were staying at his palace in the Green Zone, just chilling. It was fascinating. But when I came back to the States, yeah.
Okay. Oh, there's so much to unpack here. What do you learn in that experience? Like that sounds so surreal.
First of all, logistics. I mean, I think when you take on a project, what I watched Halliburton do so extremely well, and also partnering with the military, and I mean, everyone has their opinion on, I guess, how well we handled Iraq, but I mean, you're talking of hundreds of thousands of troops, people coming in from all ways. And so you had to take these big projects, simplify them, and then reverse engineer how you were going to get to the end goal, and while keeping people safe. You know, number one was trying not to get killed by IUDs. I mean, we had you know, people blowing up. We would sit on our Kevlar so our butts wouldn't blow off, you know. So I mean, it was no joke at that time by any means. But so it taught me, yeah, how to just really not get overwhelmed by terrifying situations. Realize that you can pretty much do anything as long as you sit down. And just like Keller Williams, just like all of us, everyone's on a whiteboard figuring out, okay, we've got these 17 areas, we've got to get people in, we've got to do this, we've got to do that, and then you execute.
It's so crazy because, you know, there's this old line, which is, you know, everything that happens in real estate feels like an emergency, but real estate isn't life and death. But this may be the first example that I've ever heard of real estate maybe being life and death, because you're running a real estate business in an active war zone.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we had constantly with our convoys, I mean, convoys being blown up, shot at, it kind of looked like Mad Max. I mean, we would do custom things to all of the vehicles to put, like, you know, barbed wire and guardrails and metal around the windshields. And we'd be followed in by two Apache helicopters, one on each end. I mean, it was no joke.
Okay, so you had a year agreement. You're running these hotels. At the end of the year, what happens?
So when I finished my year contract, I ended up coming back to the States. And I figured, you know, I could go back to hotels, but I kind of had this new world of property management in a bizarre way. So everyone was like, Brendan, you should go into real estate for property management. So go to real estate school in Naples, Florida. And the instructor's like, Brendan, you talk way too much to be in property management. He was like, you need to shut up. He goes, so you should be in regular residential real estate. He goes, no offense to anyone in property management. He's like, you're not going to like it. It's not the way you were doing it over there. He goes, I think you should get into regular residential real estate. So I started talking to a few people, and then, yeah, I decided to go that path. And so I started to find a top producer that I could hopefully be an assistant to or do an internship with. So I found an ad in the newspaper for a real estate assistant to a top producer in Naples, Florida. And I got paid $8.80 an hour to take her cat to the vet and pick up her egg salad sandwich every day for lunch. And back then in those days, Jason, we had to run expireds manually, right? So I'd get up at like 6 a.m, run expireds, because you had to basically like take the MLS. There was no, you know, Mojo, Vulcan 7, manually run these numbers through like 411.com or trying to find these reverse address lookups. And then I had to take those and run these sheets. And then I would either deliver them to her house or fax her the actual numbers, because scanners and things like that weren't up to speed yet and all this. So it was a fascinating time, but she was an amazingly dedicated agent. She taught me everything I know. She would just lead gen and crush it. I mean, she let me go on appointments with her. And yeah, I think that's the big thing. I was her assistant for a year. Then I became a a buyer's agent on her team. And back then, teams weren't like how they are now. It was like, if you had two people, you were a huge team, right? Three people was a pretty big team in those days. So she became a buyer's agent on her team, replaced myself with a new assistant for her. Then I learned, and then I became an individual agent. I think my first year I sold 42 homes, the next year 82, and then the next year after that 137 as an individual agent. And back then those were big numbers, right? Like comparatively to what we see now. So then by 26, 27, I started to build my own team. But we were doing really well. What I found, though, is I was miserable because I was basically running a call center, right? Everything was, it wasn't people-focused. It was transactional-focused. And I, for anyone out there, I can tell you there's a massive difference between transaction-focused business and relationship-focused business, right? And you just feel like you're miserable. You're disconnected. So ended up selling that company to a partner, and then from there came back to Colorado because Naples, Florida is beautiful, but if you're under the age of 60, it's not the best place for love life and other things, right? And it's so I was like, I was a huge mountain biker, I was a huge snowboarder, and so I was like, I'm going to go home, right? I'm going to go back to Colorado. So come back to Colorado, restart from scratch. And I mean, literally, that was a new world because you literally just come into an environment and I knew a system. I knew exactly what to do. I knew that I had my lead gen time, my visual scoreboards, and I jumped in and rebuilt it from scratch. And that's kind of how it, and then it grew from there. I mean, we went from having, and again, same thing, individual agent, building leverage, giving back. And I'll tell this story just real quick, but I was at Coldwell Banker, and I was top agent there, top team there, and I got mailed the MREA book, the Millionaire Real Estate Agent book, from a team leader at the downtown Denver office. And I remember getting this book, Jason, and on the inside cover it said, "This book has changed so many people's lives. I hope it helps you." And I was like, All right, it was pretty nice. First of all, no one ever mailed me a book, and I was like, that was cool. So I felt humbled by that. So I read the book probably 25, 30 times.
I was going to edit it out. And by the way, I do that all the time. People say the MREA. And I know that, but I was going to edit it out because I know we mention it every episode. So let me just cut to it. Do you know why the book, the MREA, comes up so often with the people that we interview? It is not because they are on the MREA podcast show. That is not the reason. Here's the reason. When that book came out, it was literally the first book that documented the models that drive the real estate industry as we know it today across all brands. Because for the first time, you didn't have a book on unique practice. It wasn't what one person or two people thought the answer were. This is the definitive work of best practice that permeates through the entire real estate industry. That's why you keep hearing it. So if you're sitting out there in podcast land and you haven't read it lately, or you haven't listened to it on Audible, or you are not making a study of it, I have only one question. Why? I don't get it. You're constantly hearing people say, I listened to it 15 times. Sarah Reynolds, if you haven't listened to her show, she listens to it once a year, and she thinks about it each year as she's going back to school. This is not a shameless plug for the MREA book. What this is an absolute down on my hands and knees, and I'm begging you. If there were a book of models to how to live the biggest life possible in the business that you've chosen, it is that one. It is as relevant today as the day that it was written, and every one of us should be coming back to it, especially during times of uncertainty. And you know the reason why? Because I'm certain the world is changing. But you know what I'm not? I'm not scared about the change because the fundamental models, those haven't changed at all.
Then I listened to it on Audible all the time. And so what I realized is I was making $1 million. I definitely wasn't netting $1 million, and I wasn't on a path to ever get to seventh level to give $1 million, right? In my world, it was something very passionate to me is I wanted to be able to give $1 million. So I ended up, leaving Coldwell Banker, moved to Keller Williams, Totally different environment, totally doors open. Everyone's willing to help you. And, you know, I've called you and you're like, let me connect you with this person. You know, everyone's just like, I'm like, what? And that's not a plug because I'm not trying to, I'm just going, it was very different. And Jason, I kept struggling because I kept getting agents that I loved and that I really helped to a certain level in their career. And they would leave over and over again because they'd start their own team, just like how I did with my mentor. Because there wasn't a world big enough for them to be in, and it was my name, not our name. And so I kind of went back to the drawing board and I said, what if we could build a real estate hybrid team that had all of the benefits of a team, but that was owned by the individual team members and that would give them the ability to, Gary always says, you know, if you don't build a big enough world for people to grow up and grow through, then they're going to go find it somewhere else. And I didn't have that. And I go, I want to build a world where I can help people have long-term passive income, ownership in the company or the team that they work with, and then a path to leadership.
I want to stop for a second because did you hear what he just did? Did you hear how he said, I knew I wanted to build, and then he says three things. I wanted to build a business that gave people long-term passive income, ownership, and a path to leadership. Go. That step where he just said, I knew I wanted to build blank, that might be one of the most important yet underreported on steps in the entire business process. Gary calls that the promise. What he says is that you need to have the promise that you're actually going to deliver before you can go out and start delivering it, or everyone's just going to get what they get, and there's nothing repeatable about a business that doesn't know what it promises. And it's just that simple. If you don't begin with the end in mind, I promise you, you're going to get something. But it probably won't maximize your potential on this planet. It'll be what you get. And we want more than that for you. So here's the question. When you look out over the next 5 or 10 years, what exactly is it that you want to give to the world? Mo Anderson said, when people find their unique voice and sing their unique song for the world, they become the best version of themselves. I absolutely believe that. It begins with knowing what it is you're trying to give others. That's what he just nailed. So when you listen to this show, you realize that every single person that we've spoken with does something, or their organization does something that's wildly either unique or they just simply do it better than everybody else. What's that thing for Elite Home Partners?
Yeah, and I love that, Jason, and it really is. So it is visual scoreboards. Anyone that knows me will be like, what is a visual scoreboard? Or that doesn't know me, anyone that knows me knows it's all I talk about all the time. Which is the simple concept of when you have awareness and you know exactly what you need to do, real estate just becomes a formula, a simple formula. As we said, we reverse engineer what we want to accomplish. And because we have so much data from tracking this for years and years and years, we have in our organization a simple laminated one-page daily, weekly scoreboard. And some people call this a tracking sheet. Some people, I didn't like the word tracking. It felt like I was, you know, being followed by someone, right? It's just a scoreboard. So we created this model of just going, real estate has to be simple. It has to be gamified. And it has to be connect the dots. And what we do is we make sure that any new partner that joins with our organization or in our national coaching program, Pulse, that we first start with, what is it that you want to accomplish in your business? And usually that is some sort of compensation number, right? You want to make X amount or sell X amount of homes, right? So as we decide on that number, we know we can reverse engineer out how many different deals you're going to need to do, how many listings, how many buy sides, but we just make it simple. Sometimes people get overly complicated in numbers. So we call it the 7 vital signs.
Let's actually walk through this. And if you don't mind,
please.
If I give you a number, can you help me reverse engineer this?
Oh, absolutely. In 2 seconds. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So step one, what do I want to accomplish? By the way, if you and I were sitting in a room, we'd each say, okay, $7 million. But sure. For the fun of this show, just so – because everyone's driving right now and trying not to drive off a bridge embankment while they do this.
Right.
Let's just say it's $100,000.
Yep.
Okay. Because I remember when I got into real estate, everybody said they wanted to make $100,000. I don't know if that's changed, but that was the general consensus. So let's use that number.
Yeah. So let's just say then, for sake of argument, and I'm going to be very careful here with Jason because we know the current environment, that you set a goal that you're going to make X amount per transaction because you know exactly what your value is as a listing agent, right?
Well, let's use a round number. Let's say it's $10,000.
There you go. Right. So if it's $10,000 and you want to make $100,000, then obviously that's 10 closed transactions, right? So you're going to close 10 deals. Now, we don't have to get into taxes and all of this, right? When people get into all these more numbers, you lose sight, right? It's just like, we can get into all that later, right? Those are accounting things. Let's just 10 closed transactions. Now, all we need to do is simply figure out, we call them lead measures. What are the two lead measures that are going to lead to the lag measure? Meaning, what are the two activities that I focus all my energy on, right? The one thing, right? That if I do everything with this, that those 10 closings will come. Well, from tracking this for years and years and years, we know, and even we track it every single day in our programs and with our team, that to close one deal, on average right now, it's taking 200 sales conversations.
By the way, if you're having any sort of sales conversations and you're using text message or phone, you are required to do it in a TCPA-friendly and compliant way, and you're an idiot if you don't.
1,000%. Yeah, so don't be stupid.
What was the number again?
200.
200 sales conversations is going to get me one of these closings. Is that what you
right.
said? What is a sales conversation?
So a conversation about buying or selling real estate, right? That's all we define it by. Now, if that's through instant messenger, if that's through text message, if that's through whatever, as long as you're talking about real estate, this isn't you talking to your client for the 50th time about the one deal you have under contract, right? These are 200 new sales conversations a month on average, which is 50 a week, right? 50. Now, Jason, some people are much, much better at this and they have higher conversions. They might need 20, 30. Some might be getting new into the business and it might take them 300. The whole point is if you don't track your data, right? You don't use scoreboards, you'll never know. That's the challenge. How can you know if you're getting better if you have no idea? Just like any sport, they track every single piece, free throws, batting averages. In real estate, ours is conversations. Our ability to make more money is solely determined by our ability to have powerful conversations and then convert those into appointments, buyer appointments or listing appointments, right? So once you understand that there's that conversation number, the second number that we focus on the most, Jason, is what we call ambassadors. Now, this comes from Gary and the MREA. In the book, they call them METs. We have METs and haven't METs. People were getting somewhat confused with us calling them METs because they were like, what does that mean? And all that. And we go, just think about an ambassador, someone that you truly believe would buy or sell a home with you, that would refer real estate business to you, that if I randomly called up on the phone and just said, hey, who's your preferred real estate agent of choice? They would say your name in 2 seconds. That's an ambassador. They would stop somebody on the street if they were talking about real estate and say, Brendan's the guy, Jason's the guy, right? So we know also from not only the Millionaire Real Estate Agent book, but just us tracking this. I've tracked it to a T. I am, you know, neurotic about this. It takes 6 ambassadors for every 1 closed sale or 1 referral that leads to a sale per year. So we know we need conversations and we got to build relationships. Now, Jason, here's the whole point in our program where we've been having so much success. People think they have a lot of ambassadors. For us to qualify an ambassador, they have to be on a 46 touch program or more. Now we know with Keller, there's the 36 touch, and then I heard 76 touches. Everyone has a different meaning for what a touch is. That means that a direct mailer, a property update, whatever it is, but touches, keeping in front of these people. For us, we use 46. It happens to be the number that we used to have more. We cut it back. We used to have less. We pulled it up. It's what works for us. Do what you feel is best. I can tell you what, though, it's got to be more than 30, right? I just know that right now. We know that. So you don't get to quantify an ambassador until you have them on your touch program, right? Kind of like certified USDA. You're putting that stamp on them, boof, right? Like this is an ambassador. So now all you know is on our scoreboard, the two lead measures that lead to all of the results are conversations, ambassadors, and then the rest of the vital signs are appointments, signed agreements, closings, right? The lag measures that come from those two things. So,
by the way, I know all of you are driving and you're trying to write these ratios down and you're trying to write these numbers down. You don't have to do that. All you need to do is go to MREANotes.com, MREANotes.com, enter your name and your email address, and then every single week we take the notes for you and we release a one pager on Thursdays so that you get it emailed to you so you'll have all of this. MREANotes.com.
Love it. Jason, I didn't create this. This comes from a very powerful book called The Four Disciplines of Execution. It's one of my favorite books where it talks about set a big goal, right? Whatever your goal is, we call that getting absolute clarity, right? Your BHAG, your big, hairy, audacious goal. Number two, we've got to dial in just the two to three things that you're going to focus on, that if you do that, everything else is going to happen. Number three, you've got to have it visual. Everywhere. It's got to be on your desk. It's got to be on your wall. And some of us, Jason, we use Sisu. We use these different digital platforms. We've got TVs showing data and we got game. It's awesome. All of that helps. That's why we do it, is if you don't make it visual, you put your head in the sand, something like what just came out, you know, the news freaks us out and we get all in our head and we forget that all I've got to do is have my number, close the gap every week, hold myself accountable to it, and all the results will show up, right? And then that fourth one, that fourth discipline, which is so hard for everyone to do, we call it the cadence or the rhythm of success. You can't just do this by yourself. Well, you can. I'm not saying you can't, right? But like, again, Tiger Woods has three coaches. Every person on earth has all of these accountability partners. Someone's got to hold you into this rhythm so you can continue to go, hey, I'm getting there, I'm not. We're going to have good days, good weeks, bad weeks. But the idea of making sure that we keep it visual, we report numbers, right? So in our Pulse program, right, that we partnered with KW Maps on, our Pulse program, every week, all of our power agents, we call them, come to a weekly session and we live report. Now, for some people, they get uncomfortable, of course, in the beginning, but then all of them start making so much money and start having such better results because it just creates gamification and a rhythm. Week after week, connect the dots, and it's powerful.
You know, I'm connecting so deeply with what you're saying. Gary always says, and by the way, if you're new to the show, when we say Gary, we mean Gary Keller. Him, Jay Papasan, and Dave Jenks wrote the book called The Millionaire Real Estate Agent, which is the namesake for this show. And he always says, the best things in life are the most simple, yet everything naturally wants to become more complicated. And I had Ben Kinney, and if you haven't listened to Ben's episode with us, do that.
Absolutely.
Go find the time to do that. But I had him on, and he was telling me, similar to what you're saying, Brendan, is that the key for him, he took a white sheet of paper. He numbered it 1 to 100. So 1, 2, 3, 4, and he knew that if he woke up every day and each one of those was an outgoing attempt to have a real estate conversation, that was every day for him. And he would put an X if they didn't pick up, a check mark if they did, and they talked real estate, and a circle if they set an appointment. And what he found was that if every day he made all 100 attempts, he was setting at least one listing appointment every day. And I got to tell you, in the moment, you're thinking, okay, it's got to be more complicated than that. Or with you, there's so much more. But I think your genius is that if you don't get clear on this, all of the more doesn't matter because you don't have anyone to talk about real estate with anyway.
That's it. And then it's just simplifying where we found some of our coaching clients and agents getting stuck is, well, who am I supposed to go talk to? And so, of course, as you design this, right, and you know, again, we always quote your playbook, right, the Millionaire Real Estate Agent playbook, is we go, you then have to have strategies to go and be able to leverage so you can have something to talk about. And for us, we still simplify that, right? Golden letters, client appreciation events, buyer, seller, investor, veteran seminars, and you have something to talk about. When you are able to call up and have something to discuss or have something to leverage, you're not hesitant to be on the phone. You know, today is one of my favorite days, Jason, which is the first of the month, which means there's so many sellers out there right now whose homes are coming off the market because the prior marketing plan or agent that they were utilizing didn't get them to the finish line. And we know on the first of the month, there's 10 times more opportunities than ever before. All we have to do is go and connect with all the right regulations and rules with these people that need a powerful strategy, a powerful agent, someone that can help them get to the finish line, and they're right there. You can go and knock on the door, again, if it's allowed in their neighborhood, and just introduce yourself and go, I'm sorry something didn't work out with your previous situation. I'm here to help, and I have this powerful strategy that can get you to where you want to go. Do you have 5 minutes for us to have a conversation? Right? Can I come in and talk to you? So there's limitless opportunity. It's just you got to pick up the phone.
Absolute genius. Friends, you just heard it. If you don't get clear on the one or two things that need to happen, the other 98 never do. And by the way, if y'all out there haven't seen Pulse and some of the things that they're doing over at Elite, do yourself a favor. How do they get info on that?
Yeah, just go to pulsepoweragent.com. So pulsepoweragent.com, it's all there. You also will get our free toolkit with all of our tools, our scoreboards, other things that'll help you with your real estate needs, regardless of what you do. And then, of course, our Facebook community.
Sir, we would like to invite you to join us in the lightning round. This is where we ask you a bunch of questions in fast succession. We want the first things that come to your mind. Will you play, sir?
Yes, absolutely. 100%. I'm in.
What is your favorite color?
My favorite color is actually green. Yeah, I love the color of green, not because it's the color of money. I just, I love the mountains. I love the outdoors and mountain biking, and I love golf. And every time I think of a green, I think of golf.
What is your favorite food?
Favorite food would be pho. I love pho. I would eat pho every day of my life if allowed, or any soup. I love any soup on earth. It'll be 110 degrees out and I'll be having soup and people will think there's something wrong with me.
It's so good. What is your favorite sound?
At the end of our Pulse session, we have a thing we do where everyone commits and says, I'm in at the end of the session to commit to the next week. And it's nothing makes me more joy than watching, you know, 300, 200 people go, I'm in, as loud on virtual, because they might be in a coffee shop and people are looking around, freaking out, right? And they're all yelling, I'm in. And it gets me going. And so it sets the tone for the week. That's probably the best sound right now.
I love that. Is there a book other than the Four Disciplines of Execution, which you already mentioned? Doesn't have to be a new book. It could be any book that changed your life and made an imprint that you'd recommend to our audience.
I would say Atomic Habits was up there. As I grew as a leader, Traction is probably one of the biggest books that I feel.
Did you listen to the Gino Wickman episode?
Oh, yeah,
Friends, if you haven't listened to the Gino Wickman episode, now he wrote the book Traction, Entrepreneurial Leap. His new book, Shine, by the way, is absolutely awesome. I got an advanced reader version. It's really, really good. Go check out that episode. That's a smart dude.
Oh, super smart. I mean, if you could see the wall behind my desk here, I mean, it is tractioned out. I mean, I've got every tool, every piece. And then, of course, Rocket Fuel was helpful because I needed to figure out if I was a visionary, if I was an integrator, and then who I needed to, you know, put around me. So, yeah, those books were beyond valuable to get the structure, right? Everything's just a model. If you understand it's a formula and a model, and there's people that are smart that did it, just listen and learn.
Cool. Last question. Is your favorite vacation spot a beach, a mountain, a river? Where is the best vacation spot for you?
Winter would be the mountain because I'm a huge snowboarder. And then summer would be, any place with a beach, humanly possible. We're going to Spain this year. So we're excited for that. Definitely both. It just depends on the season.
That's awesome. Brendan Bartik, thank you so much. You are a friend to real estate agents, and your mission to simplify what seems complicated is not only necessary, it's vitally important. Thank you for everything you're doing for us, sir.
Absolutely. Thank you for doing all of this and letting everyone know that, there's great models out there. Dumb it down, pay attention, don't overcomplicate it, and just be consistent and nothing can stop you.
There's a saying that anything you track improves. It implies, though, that you're actually tracking things that you want to improve. That's what he's saying. All he's saying is, Jason, without a visual scoreboard, no one actually knows what's happening in the game. There's this great story of this football game. It's a high school game. It's being played in Louisiana. There's a giant storm that's brewing, and they make it through, and everything is fine, and everyone loves the game. The next week, a giant hurricane hits and knocks out the scoreboard to the stadium. But in order to bring people back to the camaraderie of community, they still have the game. So now they're playing this high school football game the next week. The only thing that's different than the week before, where people were losing their minds, if you've never been to a high school football game in Louisiana, let me just tell you, it's as much of an experience as anything else. It's dead silent. Just like that. They didn't know when to cheer. They didn't know whether they should be rabid and crazy. Some of them knew the score. Some of them didn't. Some of them knew how much time was left. Some of them didn't. None of them knew how many timeouts were left. It was just quiet. The power of a visual scoreboard is that it brings focus to whatever it is that you're working on. And I don't care whether you're tracking date nights or conversations or contacts or closings or open houses or calories. You name it. If you don't have a visual scoreboard, you are just living a change in your head. And when he makes it real and everybody gets into it, friends, adding a scoreboard changes the game any way you slice it. The next thing I learned, did you hear how he talks about books? There's not a moment in his day where he's not trying to get an extra 3 minutes to listen to a book. I got an interesting email from one of y'all. And thank you, by the way. I love every one of you that sends emails. It's jason@kw.com. Keep them coming. And this one said, Jason, it seems like you have read every book that everyone mentions. You must be so well read. How do you have the time to read? And I'm going to tell you. Number one, I skim more than I read. And number two, almost every hour, I stop for 10 or 15 minutes and I simply pick up whatever book is on my desk and I start reading. And at the end of the day and at the end of the week and at the end of the month and at the end of the year, those 15-minute stops and reads have added up to this giant amount of time. That's the secret. If you're looking for 2 hours to sit down and read, you might not find it. But every one of us can find 10 or 15 minutes. What Brendan does is genius. He looks up at the world and says, gosh, there's so much I don't understand. The stuff that I do, I'm going to share, and I'm on the hunt for everything else. Friends, go forth and do likewise. There it is. That wraps another episode. Friends, I don't know what you're taking out of this. I really don't. I'll tell you what I want you to be taking out of it, which is these are the people that are having tremendously big lives. And the reason it's happening is because they're setting up the models and systems to do just that. Gary Keller told me that leadership is teaching people how to think so that they do the things they need to do when they need to do them, so that ultimately they get the things they want when they want to have them. And that's what I want for you. You're all leaders. But it begins with leading ourselves. If you're enjoying this podcast, I want you to click the subscribe button anywhere that you get your podcasts. We want to be the voice in your head every single week. And every week, we're dropping new content. We also send out a newsletter at the conclusion of every show to make sure that you get the highest points and the models and systems that were discussed. So if you want to sign up, I need your name and your email address. Head over to themillionaireagentpodcast.com. MillionaireAgentPodcast.com. Enter your name and your email address, and every week that newsletter will be in your box. Friends, you just went on a journey. I hope that what happens between now and the next time we meet is absolutely wonderful for you. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next week.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information. Warning: you must comply with the TCPA and any other federal, state, or local laws, including for B2B calls and texts. Never call or text a number on any do not call list, and do not use an auto dialer or artificial voice or pre-recorded messages without proper consent. Contact your attorney to ensure your compliance.